The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Friday, the 19th of October, 2018. On the podcast today, I have David Ciclatira, Executive Chairman of Live Company Group. LVCG is the ticker there. And David talks about the recent acquisition of Bright Bricks and about general progress at the company. Nice to have the guys on. There's been lots of people saying, get Live Company Group on the podcast. Finally, they're here. So good to speak to David. Had a good chat as well. I also have on Russ Mould, Investment Director at stockbroker AJ Bell. And Russ talks about the following companies: Zytronic, ZYT, Redcentric, RCN, and Therissa, THS. And as always, I have two lists: the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. No guesses, actually, which is number one in the most followed. Took a big knock, and they were on yesterday's podcast, but people seem to be following and buying the stock. But if you want to see these lists, go to the front page of Vox Markets, which is voxmarkets.co.uk, and you can see the two lists and the top tens there.
Want to keep up to date with all the companies in your portfolio? On the free Vox Markets app, you can create multiple watch lists and get instant news alerts about any company you follow. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is David Ciclatira, Executive Chairman of Live Company Group. LVCG is the ticker. David, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, do you know what? I've heard so much about you, and I'm sure lots of shareholders are glad you're coming on the podcast. And I've been following you for a while, and I get your RNSs, and I read them, and I know you've been a very busy company. There are lots of people out there maybe that doesn't know about the company, so give a brief summary, David. What is Live Company Group all about, please?
Well, Live Company is a entertainment and educational events company. And we have, when we started the business as Live Company, which was just before Christmas last year, we acquired a company brand called Brick Live. We've subsequently just acquired another brand, but let's start with Brick Live. What is Brick Live? Brick Live is a series of shows, events, permanent spaces linked around the Lego brick, bricks in general. And we are now in 51 different countries. The experience, as I said, is the basic exhibition on one hand, which has lots of different zones, which kids, it's all about kids having the opportunity to build and create things. And these shows vary from shows that are like in the NEC in couple of weeks' time, which are 30,000-40,000 people, two shows that we've had in Bangkok in Thailand, which is 25,000 people. They usually take place over a four-day period, usually with a weekend or a holiday. And the Brick Live brand has subsequently extended. There are permanent spaces now for Brick Live, so that we have centers in China and in Seoul. We've opened a Brick Live Kids Cafe. Think of Starbucks with entertainment and education alongside, and we've launched a Brick Live Kids space in Beijing, which is, if you're taking your kids to a mall and you're going shopping, it's like a kind of super creche. So we've developed in a very short period of time. If you think we're less than a year old as the Live Company Group, we have gone off at a tremendous rate, and we've built a global entertainment and education kids brand.
Yeah, do you know, I'm just looking through your RNSs here, and I've got obviously China, you've got Argentina, I mean, in Korea. It's really caught the imagination, isn't it? Now, when you started off, did you imagine it, you know, catching on so quickly?
Well, the story, and sometimes you have to go back to the beginning of the story, is a person I knew vaguely asked me to invest in a company that he had, which was an original show called Brick. And I went and saw, this is like 2.5 years ago, I went and saw the show at the NEC, and I was just blown away by how everybody was so engaged and, you know, happy families, happy. It was just an extraordinary experience. And I advise anybody who wants to invest in this show, in this company potentially, go and have a look at this year's show at the NEC. It's in November. But I went there and I thought, wow, this is amazing. So I bought the company, really. And then we reversed it into an AIM-listed company, which is where Live Company Group came from. All my history as a business person, I've built international things. And when I saw this, I thought this could be licensed internationally. And I have a particular knowledge of Asia. So we started in Asia. We started in Korea. We have a joint venture in China. I'm currently talking to you from Tokyo. So Tokyo is a good example. We now have 8 shows a year in Tokyo. In Japan, and that's expanding next year. So from a standing start in a country like Japan, we've done really well. Now, the reason we've been able to move so quickly is it's a partner-driven business. So it's not me promoting the show out in Japan. It's a partner who has bought the license from us or partnered with us. We supply the content. There's a content license fee and then there's a per show license fee. And together we are building the brand. And I've known a lot of the people we've dealt with for a long time. So they're not just people who I've just met. And some of those people have also invested in the central company. And I always think that people who invest are the people you want to know. So the second largest shareholder of this company is my partner in Korea, who has a Korean franchise, Mr. Kim. We also have a joint venture company in China, and the owners of that company have also invested in the parent company. So we are investors in a vision that we all want to work together on.
Yeah. So how big can it get? You know, practically. I mean, and what is your vision for the future here, then, David?
Well, I started the summer with 3 things I wanted to do. And the first one was I wanted to launch a big traveling show in China. And we launched a show called Brick Live Animal Paradise, which is 70 life-size animals, all of whom are endangered, elephants, rhinos, giraffes, etc. That's going on a 20-city tour over a 3-year period in China. It was launched in Beijing at the Bird's Nest, and we're supporting Prince Albert's Foundation for Environmental and Endangered Animals, and he indeed came to Beijing to open it. Secondly, I'm very keen to do things in America, and we're very important to me. America's the home of all real entertainment, and we are launching in January. We formed a joint venture company with a company called 360 in Los Angeles. They're probably most famous. They are actually the people behind Calvin Harris. They're young, great content people. And together we have signed a contract with Live Nation, who are the largest events company in the world. And they are promoting our first American show in Dallas at the end of January with the Dallas Cowboys, who are the largest sports franchise in the world. So America's important, and we've done that. And the third thing I wanted to do was to really acquire, we'll come back to that in a minute, I'm sure, Brightbricks, who have 60% of the world's, the global market for building things made of bricks. And we were their largest customer, or have become within a year their largest customer. You just ask, how far can we go? Mm-hmm. We are already in all of the markets of the world that we want to be in. We need to expand in complementary areas. Like we've talked about launching a Brick Live Kids Cafe. One of the things we will be doing in the not too distant future is launching our own characters, because what you've got to understand is that Brick Live is a global network. It is appearing in every main city of the world. Obviously, there are other cities we've yet to go to, but very quickly, we're a global network. And within a year, we have established a global brand. So now what we've got to do is consolidate that brand, But at the same time, we need to build upon the elements that could be introduced into the shows that we're running.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the concept has been proved, like you say, it can go anywhere. It's and do you know what I was surprised at as well? I was thinking, okay, you're growing quickly. I'll quickly look at your interim report, your half-year report. I thought, I expect to see massive losses there because expanding companies often have that. But you haven't got any massive losses. You've made a profit.
Well, that was a matter of pride, really. But yes, we did make a profit.
Yeah, so let's go into then the acquisition of late Bright Bricks. And you've sort of explained why you've done it. But take us into that, if you could, please, David.
Well, Bright Bricks is a UK-based company that was started originally by its founder, Duncan Titmarsh, who's probably the most famous Lego builder. His colleague, Ed Dimmitt, and himself had basically built a business that had very quickly, over a six-year period, captured 60% of the market of building Lego models. They are an amazing, it's an amazing team. There's 50 builders, so it's a really significant group of people who can, frankly, build for whatever we want. Everything we do contains not just Lego bricks, but also Lego models. And whether it's a cafe with a small lion, or whether it's 70 animals in Animal Paradise, which I think was the biggest thing they've ever built, or whether it's a dinosaur show, or whatever we are going to build in the future, we need to work with them. And they are not just creative, they are extremely quick in what they do. And it was just a natural fit. And also, not unreasonably, they've made margins on all the work that we give them. Of course, once you're one company, all those margins drop to our bottom line. But it's really, it's kind of future-proofed our business in many ways. And I think it's a big step for us, but it's one of several steps. We already have ideas of other acquisitions we'd like to make over the next 12 months. So this was the first of several.
Yeah, I mean, you sound quite calm, quite relaxed about it, but it must be exceeding expectations as of yet, is it or not?
Did I believe when I saw that first show that within such a short period we'd be in so many places and so many people would want to do business with us? Probably the answer is no. But on the other hand, all my working life, I've been a builder, not physically, but I've built. Some people are lucky enough to inherit things that are really successful. I've always been somebody who started with something, an idea or a concept, and built it. The most wonderful thing about this project is you don't have to explain what it is. So when you're talking to someone in China, I've just come from China, and I can't really explain because it would be obviously getting into areas I'm not allowed to do at this stage. But a very, very interesting meeting. I don't have to explain what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. They've already understood it. And then when they see it, they fall in love with the project. And it's not difficult to sell, but it is... I think what we've managed to do, the vision has been to build a brand. And we do have a very, very good brand in Brick Live. And I guess when I started, I looked around and I thought, what else is out there? And I saw this brand called Kidzania. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that had been built very quickly. It's a kids brand. It's pretty much everywhere. And I looked at that and I thought, well, that's fantastic. And then I looked at Peppa Pig. And Peppa Pig, you know, you go around the world and everywhere you see Peppa Pig. And you think, well, here's a global brand. And so I thought, there's definitely room for Brick Live. And if you look at the valuations of a Peppa Pig, they're into cartoons and all kinds of things where we've yet to get to. But, you know, they're a multi-billion dollar business. So I thought to myself, if we can get this right, if we can move quickly, if we can collaborate, we don't have an agreement with Lego. We never have done and never will do, but we collaborate with them. If we're able to do that, well, the sky's the limit, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And so quickly then, so in the next sort of 3 to 6 months, what would you say are your big milestones then, David?
Well, I do things in threes. I've just completed the summer three, and I've got three things in my mind I want to achieve by Easter, if you like. I think we need to have additional content, so not just bricks. We've already started in a way because we've got Minecraft bricks, and we have got an educational program run. We've just formed BrickLive Education with a gentleman called Stephen Reed, who's one of Microsoft's certified tuition people. And so we're talking coding, we're talking all kinds of things linked to Minecraft in our shows already. I want to extend that further, and you may have noticed we've been very, very fortunate to have a new non-executive joining us in November, a very senior executive at Microsoft who's coming, who's fascinated by the educational side because we're education and entertainment together. So number one, I would like to increase the variety of content in our business. Secondly, we built a network, and now we need to look at the additional forms of revenue. In my past life, so to speak, I've sold huge amounts of sponsorship. We weren't ready to go to see sponsors because we didn't have a network. Now we have a network. I think that's an area which we will develop over the next 12 months. And the third thing, it's a personal project that I think is going to be huge. Just come back from China. I can't really talk about it right now.
Yeah. As far as events are concerned, you in NECs at when is that? Is it on the November the what?
It's the weekend of the 1st of November. I think the 1st of November is the Thursday. I'm not sure.
That's right. It is. I'm looking now. Yeah. So Saturday on Friday, Saturday.
And frankly, if somebody wants to invest in this company, they should do what I did, which I went there and I went. When you just you walk in the room, and if you've got kids or grandchildren or nephews, go and have a look, because it is, when you see it, you go, this is amazing. Now, we're not running that show. It's a licensed partner who's running that show. We're providing the content, and the content changes, obviously, every year to a certain extent. The basic content's there. But it is, it's an exciting, it's a medium. It's a kids' medium. And the other thing is you've got to remember that the it's not just kids who go. The parents are there. They're all engaged. It's, I think the cool way of putting it is it's screen light. So how many parents don't want their kids living on the telephone? So the other thing is education is everywhere. China, they've just got rid of the one-child policy. They're into two children. So as I said, the potential is endless, right? So
yeah, well,
I'm very excited. As you can hear, I'm quite excited, even though I apologize, it is Tokyo and probably the time lapse, I'm not as clear as I should be, but...
No, well, listen, I can't think of a more enjoyable way of doing research as an investor, just to go along to a show with the kids. That's ideal. So one final thing, David, on Vox Markets here, we have a report on the top five most followed companies every day. And if someone's listening to this right now, likes the sound of what you're doing, but have just listened and they're not following you yet, give them three quick reasons in summary why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, I own just over 40% of this company. I started with 50%. I have invested significant monies in building it up. So I look at any shareholder that's going to be part of this company as part of a family. As I said, it's like Barcelona Football Club. We're all fans. We're all shareholders. We're all there for the same reason, which is value for ourselves. That's the first point. The second point is we have a global brand, and that global brand will, the value of that brand will grow and grow. And the third point is it's about education. It's about kids and education, which I think is, it is the most important thing going forward for most people and for most families. And I think as we build this, it just has this great potential.
Excellent stuff, David. Good to chat to you. And hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Very nice to meet you, Justin, finally.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Russ Mole, Investment Director at stockbroker AJ Bell. You all right, Russ?
I'm very well, Justin. How are you, my friend?
Good, thanks. It's always good. Nice to hear your voice in the morning on Wake Up the Money. Yeah, Wake Up the Money.
Yes.
So I do listen to that every morning.
Thursday. Yeah, last week.
I know, yes. It's always
good fun. It's always good fun. I enjoy it enormously.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, let's go into some stocks. I know you've a very busy man, and you've got a lot of time then. I was very late for this call.
No,
I do apologise. So let's get into some stocks we've been looking at, Russ, please.
Yeah, three against the field, all ones that we've looked at before with varying degrees of success, Zytronic, Redcentric, and Therissa.
Okay, let's go with Zytronic. I know this well. So, I missed the boat on this years ago.
Yeah, it was Zytronic. We first looked at it. We first looked at it when we first started talking about 18 months ago with great success, actually. Yeah. Got in at £4, got out at nearly £6, which was great. We've had another dip at it when it came back to £4 in the spring. That's not worked out quite so well because it's just dished out a profit warning. So 60 million cap stock, rugged touch sensitive screens for things like ATMs, fruit machines, whatever
vending
you call
machines,
them, for example,
yeah,
vending
yeah.
machines, all that kind of stuff. It's very, very high tech stuff because they've got to be strong, but they've got to be sensitive. And it's a company that's got a very strong position in its field, but they've popped out a warning. So they're now going to do 4.2 million of pre-tax this year rather than 5.2. Two shortfalls, £300,000 of what they call cost relating to a quote, spurious patent dispute, which they've clearly settled, and then £700,000 of incremental design and production costs relating to new products, which have all come in a bit of a hurry. So I guess that's one of the things that you can get with small caps when they've got a fairly finite range of products. It's the type of thing that happens. Mark Cambridge, the chief executive, doesn't seem to be panicking. He says that, you know, we're looking forward to material increases in margins as these costs begin to wear through and the volumes begin to rise. So if you're being generous, you'll put it down to a bit of a timing issue. This will be the fifth time since the company floated in 2000 that annual profits have gone down year on year. So this company does ride product cycles, as we've talked about before. But in the end, it's got a 20% plus return on capital, a net cash balance sheet. It's just put through a big increase in the interim dividend. So even an unchanged final dividend, you're looking at about 22p for the full year or a yield of around 6%. So if you're prepared to be patient, you're being paid to wait. It's a good company. It's obviously, that looks, feels to me at the moment like just one of those hiccups. So we'll take our punishment, stick with it. And if you're feeling particularly brave, you might want to tuck a few more away.
Yeah, do you know what? And it's not a good market to release bad news into at the moment, is it?
No, it isn't. No, people are being very, very intolerant at the moment, I think it's fair. So you're not being given a lot of benefit of the doubt at the moment.
Yeah, it's very unforgiving. And, you know, the RSI on this, which means relative strength index, is very oversold. It's literally down at the bottom range. It hasn't been down here for years. It's tried it before, bounced off it. But will it bounce off this time? We'll see.
Well, we'll find out. But I think it's a good company, but you're right at the moment. It's not the sort of time when you want to be doling out bad news if you can possibly get away with it. But,
exactly.
Yeah, these things are sent to try and test us.
Okay, what's next, Russ?
Second one is Redcentric, RCN on AIM. Remember, this is a company that's got a bit of a roachy reputation. In 2016, there were an accounting issue, which obviously quite prevalent in the press again at the moment. There was a profit warning, a change of management, an FCA investigation. And under a new management team, the outsourced provider of IT and communication services to the public sector and smaller companies is looking to get back on track. It seems to be getting there. There was a big contract win in April from a load of county councils across the Humber, though they then slipped out a warning afterwards saying, well, that's going to involve quite a lot of costs, don't forget. The prelims were then fine, and they've just come out with a very bold trading statement. But the good news is there's no bad news, which in the current environment, again, is a good thing, in line for the year, and most importantly, debt coming down. Less debt means less risk. Less risk means a potentially higher valuation. And you've got a company here with 100 million of annual sales, 80-odd% recurring revenues, and only making, what, £1-2 million of operating profit. So there's clearly scope for increases there. It's on about 19 times earnings, falling to 13 on relatively depressed numbers. So if they can get it right, it's clearly very cheap, but clearly the burden of proof lies with them. And as you've hinted earlier, burden of proof stocks are probably not as popular as they once were, say, a few months ago. So they've got to start delivering. But right now, we'll stick with it.
It's just on the chart, it's a funny old thing. It's like almost like...
it's gone nowhere, hasn't
it? Yeah, it's like 80 pence is almost like the magnet line it comes back to, but then it spikes up every now and again. Then comes
it doesn't
back
want
down.
To go much above 95 at the moment, does it? Interesting,
no.
Or a quid, definitely not. I think it's nibbled there once or twice and doesn't want to go. So.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like charts like that. It's just a bit erratic.
There you go.
Okay, what's next?
And the last one is Therissa, THS, main market. It's not one where we've covered ourselves in glory. Looked at it first about 18 months ago, and it's just gone from £1.40 to just below a quid. And in fact, it's even been lower than that. So it's not been a success. South Africa-based platinum and chrome miner. So it's been hit by a number of different things. Commodity price weakness, worries over Chinese growth, South African rand's gone down, worries over the South African economy. So there's, I mean, South Africa's had to put through its first increase in VAT for over two decades to try and plug its budget deficit. There's all sorts of things that have been working against it. Mm-hmm. The good news is the fourth quarter production numbers earlier this month were absolutely fine, so job done. And there was a slightly controversial acquisition that they were looking to do, buying 90% of a Zimbabwean business called Salini. That deal's now been restructured so that they'll only buy it if the exploration results are satisfactory. So I think they're not good, so that's definitely better. But what you have got is a low-cost producer that's throwing out cash and actually pays a decent dividend. And as it drives efficiencies going forward, that will help. But again, at the moment, the macro is not with it, but the valuation's fine and the company's fundamentals are fine. So I don't see any point in crystallizing any losses by locking them in and moving on just yet.
Yeah, they don't believe in safe jurisdictions, though, do they? It's like, you know, I mean, Zimbabwe now, South Africa, now Zimbabwe.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
There's risk there. So anyway, any plans for the weekend, Ross?
Ascot races tomorrow. It's Champions Day. And then I'm on some half-term duty with the kids next week, so that'll keep me busy. I'm looking forward to a day at the races out in the fresh air, all being well. What about you?
I don't know. It's not as exciting as that. So, in fact, the parents are coming down. Here we are.
There you go. Marvellous. At least the cavalry's arriving.
Exactly. Marvellous. I'll speak next week.
Take care.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are, at five, Alpha Growth. In fact, Live Company, we're just chatting to, is in the top 10. We were looking at there at number 7. So Alpha Growth at number 5. And number 4, Smithson Investment Trust. That's a new one. At 3, Anglo-African Oil and Gas. At 2, UK Oil and Gas. And number 1, most followed, Asia Met Resources, of course, took a massive fall yesterday. Really overdone, I thought. And they are bouncing back today. Up by 9% as I look right now, close to 10%. Okay, top 5 most liked RNSs. They are, at 5, UK Oil and Gas, Portland declared commercially viable. At 4, Asia Met Resources plans additional drilling to enhance BKMBFS. At 3, Asia Met Resources intersects broad copper intervals at Butong. At 2, Frontier Resources update regarding YH1PN Limited matter. Convertible loan, CLN? I have no idea. And number 1, most liked RNS came from Asia Met Resources again, response to social media article, which of course took the share price down a little bit. I said a little bit down at 35% at close of play. And I did say, I'm not a day trader, but if you'd bought just before the bell yesterday, may have been a good trade on today for you. But it opened up, it went 15% down, but now, so you may have been sweating if you'd done that, but now up 10%, so it's probably a good call, because I think overdone yesterday. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.